Today we're going to cover the three major categories of law, and that is constitutional law, statutory law, and common law. And we're going to talk about how these different laws relate to each other. First, let's talk about constitutional law. So the Constitution is called the supreme law of the land. And what that means is that all other laws, rulings, treaties, regulations, everything has to stay within the bounds of the Constitution and cannot violate any provision in it. Another important point to add about the Constitution is that it's referred to as a document of, quote, enumerated powers. And enumerated powers means that the Constitution lists out what the federal government is allowed to do, and anything not listed in the Constitution means the government cannot do it. So all legislation passed by the government must have a specific provision in the Constitution that allows them to carry out that legislation. Now that's the official story about the Constitution and enumerated powers, but as we'll see later as we study con law, that norm has kind of been ignored by the courts during the past century. And as one judge put it kind of bluntly, quote, the court has basically written Congress a blank check, end quote. Now, I mention it, however, because even though the courts don't really enforce the Constitution in a lot of cases, they often still use language of what is, quote, constitutional or what is unconstitutional. And so that's what that language is referring to. And it's good to have that background context. Okay, now we're going to move down the hierarchy a little bit. After constitutional laws, the next category of laws are statutes. And these are the laws created by the legislature or Congress. And these are the types of laws you usually hear about in the news. Like when Congress passes the bill for a stimulus package or something like that, that's going to be a statute. So let's look at the relationship between the Constitution and statutes. Remember, because statutes are lower on the hierarchy compared to the Constitution, statutes cannot violate or go outside the bounds of the Constitution. Every statute has to be backed by some granted power listed out in the Constitution. That means the judicial branch can actually strike down that law as being, quote, unconstitutional if they think that that statute has violated some provision in the Constitution. To take an example, about 10 years ago, there was this huge court case about Obamacare. And the argument going on there was, on one side, they're saying that the Constitution did grant the federal government power to force everyone to get insurance, while the other side argued that the Constitution did not grant that power. Now, if the court had ruled that Obamacare had violated the Constitution, then Obamacare would have been struck down and basically been just taken off the books. So you can see how the Constitution takes precedent over normal everyday statutes. I want to add one more footnote here. Let's say that Congress doesn't pass a statute, but a constitutional amendment. A constitutional amendment means it's actually a part of the Constitution. And so the judiciary, they can't review it, they can't strike it down, and all future laws can't be in violation of that amendment either. You know, it's literally a part of the Constitution. Now, amendments don't get passed very often, and when they do, it's like a historical event. But it's important to know that there is a way for Congress to change the Constitution if they can get enough support for it. So that's the big difference between the Constitution and statutes. Now we're going to go down the hierarchy one more level. Below statutes, there's a thing called the common law. So what is the common law? The common law is the law that gets created by judges as they rule on court cases. And here's how it works. So people come to the courts asking judges to resolve their disputes with each other. When this happens, the judge will rule in favor of one party or another. And when the judge makes a ruling, what they're doing is they're setting precedent for future judges. That means as if a similar dispute comes up in the future, the judge should be ruling on that case in the same way. And that principle of judges setting precedent for future judges is called stare decisis. And again, that's just a fancy Latin term that refers to setting precedent. Now, before I go any further, I want to bring up a question to you. What do you personally think about stare decisis? Just your first impression. What do you think might be some of its upsides or some of its downsides? If you're in our Section 3 group on the PodTalk app, leave a comment in the group. I'll be adding some of my own thoughts as well. I want to talk about these common law rulings a little bit. So a judge makes a ruling, and that sets a precedent for future judges. But the thing about those precedent is they're not quite as binding as a statute. Future judges can modify this past precedent or this common law if they choose to. And in fact, they often do as time goes on and as circumstances change. To make this a little bit clear, I want to go through an example. Now, imagine that there's two people, there's John and Ralph, and they have a dispute with each other. And the dispute is that John stepped on Ralph's very beautiful lawn. And this made Ralph really upset because he cut his grass super nice. He had really nice flowers. But anyway, it's just a silly hypothetical example. And so John and Ralph both come to the courts. And the judge thinks about their arguments and makes a ruling. And he says that John owes Ralph $15 for the damages he caused by stepping on Ralph's lawn. So what the judge did there is he made a ruling, and that sets precedent for future judges. So if there are future disputes coming to the courts where people are saying, hey, this person stepped on my lawn, I want damages, judges know that they know how to rule in those cases by looking back at this previous case between John and Ralph. Now, let's say that that's the common law for, you know, a few decades. But then over time, something changes in society where people's yards don't really have grass or any plant life in it anymore. They just have a bunch of rocks in their yard. Styles have changed, whatever. Well, at some point, a judge may recognize this, and then he will say, well, you know, the common law has been that if you step on someone else's lawn, that you have to pay him some amount of damages. But since everyone has a rock, has rocks in their yard now, it doesn't really make sense to have to pay, force up someone to pay for damages, because there really aren't any damages from stepping on the rocks. And so the judge could overrule the previous precedent and make a new rule or a new precedent that says, if you step on someone's lawn, you're not going to have to pay damages. So that's how the common law works. Now I need to talk about the relationship between statutes, which is the level above where we're at right now, and the common law. So first of all the common law that's created by judges needs to be created in a way that doesn't violate any statutes, just like how statutes can't violate anything in the Constitution. Second, let's say that there's some long-standing common law in some area of law that really isn't covered by the Constitution or by statutes. So if that's there, and then the legislator in the future comes along and passes a statute that does cover that area of law, it now takes priority over the common law. And sometimes this can happen, like when the courts make a ruling that the legislature doesn't like. The legislature will sometimes pass a statute to override whatever the judge ruled. And they can do that except in the case where the judge is ruling in a constitutional case. So if the judge says something is constitutional or unconstitutional, then Congress can't override that with a normal statute. They have to go and pass an amendment in order to do that. In a situation where this happened is if you've got a judge who's maybe more conservative, and maybe he makes some ruling that the legislature, who's more liberal, doesn't like. The legislature can then pass a statute that overrides that ruling and trumps the common law. And again, this doesn't happen all the time, but just it's good to know that that outlet is there for Congress if they choose to do so. I think that covers most of the material in our lecture today. The reason I bring up this hierarchy of laws is so that you can kind of have this big picture look as the structure of our legal system as you're looking at specific court cases, and you can see how, you know, a specific ruling in a very niche area of law fits into that bigger picture, and how, you know, some bigger macro forces could eventually override that law. And just to be clear, this is a very, very brief summary of these three areas of law. There are tons of books and commentaries written about this, and I'm just giving you the briefest of briefest overviews, just again to give you that context as we start going into specific areas of law. Thank you for joining me. I'll talk to you next time.